quote. I don't think I even want to hear your story.
All of you must hear the Scarlet Spider story.
My name is Ben Reilly. I'm related to this reality's Peter Parker.
How?
I'm his clone. Or maybe he's my clone. We're not sure.
I'm the real Spider-Man.
I don't know what kind of mind game this is, but I'm the real Spider-Man. The real Peter Parker.
You see? Really? Clones.
I thought I was that clone. I tried to stay out of Peter's life by taking on a new identity. I dyed my hair, changed my name to Ben Reilly. When I became a costume hero, the Scarlet Spider, it really made him angry. But the next big blow came from Dr. Kurt Connors. He discovered that, according to our genetic structures, it might be Peter who was the clone, not me. That news pushed Peter Parker over the edge. Now he hated me with a passion.
This is starting to sound like a bad comic book plot.
It gets worse.
Why didn't you just tell me I was a clone?
The cloning process has proven unstable.
You're coming apart.
Welcome back, Clonettes, to the Spider-Man Clone Saga Chronicles. I am Zach Joyner, your friendly neighborhood host. Joining me this particular episode is Joshua Lavin-Bertoni. You can find him not only here, but you can find him on Amazing Spider-Man Classics as well. Welcome, sir.
Hey, how you all doing?
And also from Amazing Spider-Man Classics and a regular contributor on this episode, on these episodes is Donovan Morgan Grant. How are you, Don?
Hi, glad to be back.
And you can find this guy's reviews on the Spider-Man Crawl Space. He reviews Amazing Spider-Man, Gerard De La Tour.
Guess who just got back today? The wild-eyed boys has been away. Haven't changed, haven't much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around.
Can you stop singing?
How you was, where you
I know what you're
told
saying.
Them you were living downtown, driving all the men crazy. The boys are back in town. The boys
are back in town. The boys.
The boys are back in town.
Gerard De La Tour and the Clone Saga Chronicle dancers.
Well done, sir.
No, not well done.
Okay, you said it better. You just say that than me. This particular episode, we're reviewing a story called Exiled. It ran four issues: Web of Spider-Man number 128, Amazing Spider-Man 405, Spider-Man number 62, and ended in Spider-Man Unlimited number 10. Also, that came out this month was Spectacular Spider-Man 228, but that's the start of another story, and we'll get into that. Not a whole lot of news. It's been a while since we've actually done a formal recording. This is actually technically our first recording of 2011. By the time you hear this, you'll have heard several episodes, and those were recorded back in late last year. We're happy to be back, and this is probably going to be the regular panel. We'll have a couple of fill-in hosts if need be, but other than that...
The economy has forced us to do some downsizing. But don't worry, the others will be joining us periodically.
In terms of news, there's not a whole lot of news other than really two little pieces. If you own an iPad or a Touch or an iPhone, you can download the Marvel Comics e-reader app and read comics on your iPod or iPad or whatever. Included in that, and I was just told, is the first bit of the Clone Saga, Power and Responsibility. It looks like most of the stuff from the first trade. If you haven't picked up the trades and you want to read it in digital format, you can check it out there. I don't know if they're going to collect the whole Clone Saga or not. It just kind of remains to be seen. So we'll keep you posted on that. Speaking of the trade, there is number 5 out. It should be coming out. If it's not come out already, it'll be out in the next few weeks. Check that out. You can go to your comic store, or you can go online and buy it from Amazon or other places. So we're going to be covering two miniseries that have already appeared in the trades in the next over the next couple episodes, Planet of the Symbiotes and Lost Years, and we'll be recovering those. So that way, if you're following along via the trades, we'll have everything that's been released recorded. So we're really excited about that.
I was about to say, that's not really true, right? Because we didn't cover Funeral for an Octopus.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. We'll eventually get everything, but over the next couple episodes, we're going to hit one of the lower points and one of the higher points. I forgot about Funeral for the Octopus. So we'll probably cover that right before we start.
How could you forget Funeral for an Octopus? I mean, that's just like the most memorable.
Apparently the writers did, because when Ben Reilly encounters the Hobgoblin later on in the Clone Saga, he completely disregards the encounter that they had in Funeral for an Octopus.
You know, yeah, oddly enough, it was referenced, that Funeral for an Octopus was referenced like 3 times in that Unlimited issue that we're reviewing today.
Well, I wonder let me just take a wild guess here. Let's see, that Unlimited issue was written by Mike Lackey. Who wrote Funeral for an Octopus?
Who the heck is Mike Lackey?
I don't want to know.
He's a lacking writer.
Yeah, just
Funeral for an Octopus was written by Tom Brevoort?
No!
And some guy named Mike Kantrovich.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay, anyway. Getting back on track. Bertone, you're not doing the Unlimited issue, but you're doing every other rundown, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. Which
okay, so why don't you give us the rundown of Web of Spider-Man number 128.
All right. If it's been a while and you guys want to know where we are, Peter and Ben, they're both existing. Who's the clone? Who isn't? As of now, Peter's the clone. Ben's the real guy. The Jackal fell off a building because when the dream ends, the nightmare begins. Everybody melted, so now the only question to ask is, oh, and Peter slapped Mary Jane across the room, but she's pregnant, so.
But don't worry about that.
Yeah. She only landed in a wall and bled.
Oh, gosh.
But don't worry, that's the last that we'll see of, you know, Peter and Mary Jane abuse until Time Bomb.
Actually, real quick, couldn't that be a possible explanation for why the baby was possibly stillborn? Spoilers.
All this time he's been blaming Osborn.
That's terrible.
So we start off with the cover that has the question, who will wear the webs? And shame on you if you think that that'll be answered anytime soon.
Right.
The book opens up with the Black Cat, who was last seen vowing to Mary Jane that she would find Peter, because the Black Cat always gets her man, swinging through the rooftops and striking poses. You know, she's drawn very 90s-like with, like, you know, muscles and stuff. She ponders the implications of the fact that the Spider-Man that she loved wasn't the real Spider-Man. But she feels selfish for feeling that way. But hey, this wouldn't be the Clone Saga if there wasn't somebody hiding in the shadows stalking her. It's Despair, with his bony face and long black cape and super creepiness. He wants to talk to Felicia about her feelings? The Spider Brothers, being Peter and Ben Reilly in their civilian gear, are visiting the graves of Aunt May and Uncle Ben, and no, that's not the only grave visit that we'll get during this podcast. Peter ponders the fact that he never really knew them since his memories are fake, and no, that's not the only time that we'll get a reference to fake and real memories in this episode. Both of them realize that they are being trailed thanks to their handy spider sense. That's right, the story has only just begun, and we already have 2 cases of somebody stalking in the shadows. The spiders lose the person that's trailing them. They suit up and begin following him. It's fun because we get some Peter and Ben banter along the way, which is one of the cornerstones of the latter half of the Clone Saga. Turns out that it's a disguised Paul, who returns to the Cat's Eye Detective Agency to report his findings to the prisoned Loop over the computer. For those who don't know who these people are, because nobody read the 90s Black Cat miniseries, at the end of that miniseries, Felicia opened up a detective agency, and Paul was her partner in that, and there was a guy named Loop who was a friend of Felicia's father's who was in jail that would help them over a computer. And for the next few years of Felicia's appearances, that's basically her supporting cast. They came from that miniseries. And eventually, when Cat's Eye was forgotten about, these people were forgotten about, too. But right now they're remembered and they're in this series, so let's get back to that. But before we do, we get a 1-page interview of Mary Jane getting a call to talk about fashion with fashion people.
Fashion!
Yeah, exactly. In the place of science, we have fashion. So Paul explains that Felicia was searching for her friend Peter Parker the other day and hasn't been seen since. Spider-Man passionately vows to find her, no matter the cost, much to the Scarlet Spider's confusion. So while swinging away, Peter gives Ben a backstory on who Felicia is to him, as well as some more spider banter. Despair continues to probe Felicia's mind, you know, a la Judas Traveler style, and gives us some floating evil Spider-Man heads and a 90s gratuitous ass shot. Asking if Felicia knows who is responsible for her pain, she responds, yes, with an evil look on her face. Mary Jane goes to a fake fashion dinner with some fake fashion people. They want her to model maternity clothes. Fashion! Black Cat sees the spiders and charges towards Peter, vowing to kill him. I don't even know how to describe these people, but a bunch of henchmen, as if, like... It's like the 1960s Batman TV show where, like, you know, Joker and Riddler would have, and Catwoman would have henchmen, like, dressed like them. There's, like, a 60s Black Cat-style gang that starts attacking Ben Reilly while Black Cat's attacking Peter. And Ben knows that the gang actually feels weird when he punches them. Felicia derides Peter for not being a real man, and to Ben's surprise, Peter buckles and goes to his knees agreeing with Felicia and apologizing. Ben realizes that only one person can be behind this as the Cat's gang turns to smoke. Despair. Despair talks about how he used his emotional juju powers and apparently knows everyone's secret identities. We get a sense that there is a deeper history between Ben Reilly and Despair, which the editor's note says that we may see one day. Still waiting on that, by the way.
I knew you were saying that.
Yeah. Ben yells at Felicia to snap out of her rage before she delivers the killing blow to Peter. Her and Peter both snap out of it and begin to attack Despair. He then disappears to smoke. And nobody questions it at all. Like, just like, oh, okay, well, he's... They don't even say, okay, he's gone. They just, like, start having another conversation altogether. Felicia apologizes to Peter, shows some maturity that the current incarnation doesn't have, says that what they had was real, even if he was a clone, introduces herself to Ben, who she technically already met in prison, as Zach BRBs, and swings off promising to call Mary Jane, and Spider-Man, you know, sexist pig that he is, talks about how those women, they can talk on the phone for hours, am I right? Pretty close to actual dialogue, by the way. Not an exaggeration. He's like, oh, yeah, they talk for hours.
And then he looks in the camera, am I right?
Am I right? Now it's time to address what Peter and Ben are going to do. Peter offers the mantle of Spider-Man to Ben, who turns it down, saying that this is Peter's life now. So we have yet another Clone Saga moment where Ben swings off, ready to leave New York City for, like, the third time. Mary Jane tells Peter that she... Mary Jane's actually kind of rude about this. Like, Peter gets back to the apartment. Mary Jane's like, what have you decided? And Peter says, well, I don't care. I already made my decision. We're staying in New York. And then they do some making out, and he's like, actually, we decided the same thing. We cut away to Ben, who has no one to make out with but his suitcase, which he packs up and closes the door because he's leaving New York forever. And that's the end of Exile.
Thank you, Bertone, for that wonderful rundown. Gerard, what is your thoughts?
Well, this one was kind of...
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm getting a theme. You've said "eh" in about four different syllables.
I thought it was an okay concept, like in theory. By that I mean the Black Cat dealing with the ramifications of Peter being a clone part, not the random Doctor Strange-esque villain that appears in it. That was kind of dumb, but...
Magical juju powers.
Despair!
Although I do have to ask, maybe I wasn't paying attention because it's been a while since we've read, but how does Felicia know that Peter's a clone?
Thank you!
Donovan asked me this earlier today, Would you like me to give my explanation? I don't want to completely derail the
conversation. I don't buy the explanation. But
is your explanation complete BS? Because if it is, tell me.
I don't think it's BS. The last time we saw Felicia, she was trying to track down Peter Parker, and she was talking to Mary Jane, saying that she always finds her man. Now, according to what Paul, her partner, says, she went to look for Peter Parker again. Now, because Felicia, at this point in continuity, knows his secret identity, and as Peter says at the end of the issue, talks to Mary Jane on the phone for hours, the first place she would look to find Peter Parker would be, I don't know, his phone number, to which Mary Jane probably caught her up on all the developments.
But it wasn't explained in issue, exactly. So that's only a theory.
But does it need...
But it's completely plausible.
Does it need to? Yeah, does it need to be explained? Because last time we saw her, she was looking for Peter, and now that Peter's not missing anymore, as a family friend who's in regular contact with them, i.e., talking to Mary Jane for hours, it's plausible that this would come up.
Because you got to think at this point, the only person she can really talk to in complete life is her.
The thing is, though, we've had so many scenes of Mary Jane by herself. I understand what you're saying, but they really do need to explain. Either Mary Jane says, well, I just got on the phone telling Felicia that Peter's a clone, or something. We can't just – assuming is always a bad part in fiction, though. You can't just, like, leave that up to the reader and just to guess.
Agreed.
I can buy Felicia and realizing it faster than, like, somebody else. Like, I don't know.
Jameson?
Right. Well, yeah, Jameson, like, if Jameson randomly knew, that wouldn't make sense. I think that Felicia knowing makes sense given her resources.
Okay. Who knows? She, yeah, okay. Anyway.
I mean, I buy the explanation, but they couldn't write a single line of dialogue to explain that or something. I mean, like, Felicia being like, well, Mary Jane filled me in and it's terrible, I need to find him, you know, stuff like that. It would have been nice and easy, right? But there were a couple other weird, like, script problems. Like, that scene where Mary Jane is talking on the phone, and she says something along the lines of, like, you know, since I'm already starting to show, and I'm like, wait a minute, and I'm, like, looking at the art, looking at the dialogue, looking at the art, I'm like, really? Because she looks pretty slim and trim to me. Like,
just a bomb. Yeah, a little baby bump.
She's showing okay, more anyway. Than she was in Maximum Clonage.
Yeah, that well.
Or Mark of Cain.
We've gone on hours and hours about how awful the artwork was on Maximum Clonage.
We really did, didn't we?
We really did. Mm-hmm. So let's not bring up that bag of bones.
Do we get another tease about things that happened to Ben Reilly on the road that we're never actually going to see?
You sound so pessimistic.
Yes, this is the second or third time.
It is the second or third time. I think it's the second time. I don't remember a third.
Well,
for was in Greatest Responsibility. The second time was in this one, I think. Right?
Yeah, they had that one where Wild Whip or whatever from. The very first arc of the Clone Saga, right?
Greatest Responsibility, or Power Responsibility.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
but it was just kind of strange, but I think I understand what's going on. Because at the exact time that Exiled is happening, we're like knee-deep in Spider-Man The Lost Years. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, DeMatteis believed that he could like write this as a regular series, or that they could revisit it as like a, you know, a mini-series a year sort of thing, or... You know, like yes. A persistent series of stories. So and Despair is a very DeMatteis friendly villain because like, it would seem like that's a character that's totally up his alley for his like psychobabble.
It's Judas Traveler with a skull mask.
Like, so I wouldn't be surprised. So I wouldn't be surprised if he like, you know, basically told them to slip that in there or like that reference in there so that he could follow up on it maybe like in a later miniseries that just never happened. Because I guess the Lost.
Well, let me further elaborate what you're saying. This is at least my understanding was that they were wanting to do like they did with War Machine or Thunderstrike and actually launch their own Scarlet Spider series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Taking place during that 5-year period where he's on the road.
Yes, during the Lost Years era and all that stuff, and that's why DeMatteis has always said there's so much stuff you can do within that quote unquote 5 years. That's why he's been really willing to revisit that character.
Like the web series that was out, that was canceled not too long ago.
Supposedly Wacker said, didn't he say it? It's still planning doing the anthology series and more Ben Reilly stories.
They flip flopped on that so much because at New York Comic Con at one point he was like, I think it was New York Comic Con. He's like, nope, no more Ben Reilly. But I recall asking at San Diego about and being told that we haven't seen the last of Ben Reilly, so it's very contradictory.
But anyway, the art, I usually like Stephen Butler, but this is really hit or miss. It seems like he's probably rushing or something. Second to last issue of Web, right? And then, I don't remember, does he draw any of the Web of Scarlet Spider books?
No, he leaves after Time Bomb.
Okay, so this is the second to last issue, basically.
Yes, not a very good issue.
Yeah, you know. It looks kind of slow. Like, he draws a good Scarlet Spider, like always, but
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, but it's kind of, the rest of the faces especially are kind of dodgy. And in general, the whole superhero aspect of the story I didn't like. I like the Peter and MJ stuff a bit. Mainly because it's like, gives some plot movement and you're kind of seeing the beginning of the end for them in the book. But otherwise, it was kind of like a little below average. So I would probably give this like a C-.
Donovan Morgan Grant, give me your thoughts on this particular issue.
I love reviewing Thomas with the Gerard because we always end up on the opposite side of the spectrum. Really, really like this issue. I'm not saying it's perfect. Nothing really is. And there are some things that just kind of like claw at your common sense. Like just the fact that like Spider-Man and Spider-Sense go off when Felicia just jumps right in front of them. I mean, they couldn't like sense which direction she came from. They're like, whoa, no! But she's like...
You also have to realize who's writing this issue at this point.
DeZaga?
Yes. He's doing the script at least. Now, the plot's to DeFalco, but the script is DeZaga.
Well, the thing is that kind of stuff can be in there, but this is sort of like what I kind of like just enjoy reading. This is sort of just a guilty pleasure for me. I kind of like reading goofy 1990s comics that have stuff like that doesn't make any sense or doesn't make as much sense, but still you have plot progression. I mean, as a non sequitur as this character Despire is, which is such a ridiculous
name. Despire? It's like, despair.
It's the way they spell it. It's
well, like who knows? Like seriously,
and a Y. It's a
classic Marvel character.
No, it isn't.
It is.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Yeah.
Oh really? I thought he was a one-off guy.
Totally thought he was a one-off character too.
No, he's a Doctor Strange villain that recurs constantly, right?
Yeah.
Like Nightmare or somebody like that. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, God, okay.
Oh.
This is what happens when you let juju magic happen in Spider-Man comics.
Juju!
You could have easily put Judas Traveler in that role, though, and like have the host behind him saying, now we will study Felicia Hardy's reactions to this.
They could have.
How does he possibly know who Felicia Hardy is?
How does he know anything? Like, okay.
I don't know what I'm saying, but then at least, how does he know anything? I gotta say that, I mean, I really enjoy all of the Spider-Man Star of Spider stuff. This is stuff I love seeing in the real Clone Saga by Falco and Nock. Just like Spider-Man
and Mackie.
And Mackie, yeah. Just like them kind of like, you know, working together and palling around and saying stuff like, oh, here's a Tom Jones fan. And Peter giving Ben the backstory with him and Felicia. Like, I really like that stuff. And it's not the best ever, but it's enjoyable to me. It doesn't just ring out, like, out of continuity or out of character or anything. It's just, you know, simple. I actually really liked Peter breaking down in front of Felicia. I thought that was one of the whole psycho attacks that I felt made a lot of sense. And I also liked how Felicia reacted, like Josh said, after the spell was broken. She says, oh, I didn't mean any of that. Because, you know, it shows maturity in her part that we're not getting in the current issues. But besides that, really, I want to give this an A-. I actually I have very little problems with this that just detriment the issue too much for me to not give it that high a grade. So I'm going to give this issue an A-.
What?
Probably my last time on Close Arc Chronicles.
No, I agree with you, though, at least with the Peter-Felicia moment, even though the way it led up to it was kind of dumb. Like, him breaking down in front of her was nice.
This is like the storyline right after the Maximum Clone storyline, where he was like on the verge of going insane, still kind of dealing with.
Yeah, and for certain people that will argue that Felicia is nothing in comics but like a sex object type character, this is a perfect example if that's not the case. Because as bad as the '90s were, she was a character in the '90s.
Well, I mean, immediately they do try to objectify her here and there, like that one panel where her butt's in the thing.
Oh no, no.
But at the same time, you could have done that with Mary Jane. Like at the same time, like that's not her trying to do that for the reader. She's like, you know, being messed with by her mind. She's not actually doing it on purpose. So you can kind of like get past that.
Don't get me wrong. This thing is full of TNA, but like at least there's something other than the TNA going on.
The most sexual thing about her here is the art. All right, I will give this a B+. I like the art this issue. I like the way Felicia is drawn as she's swinging, you know, around and stuff. One, I like the spider banter between Peter and Ben. Like I said, this becomes a cornerstone. Not too hot about despair. Like I said, they could have easily used other people, even Judas Traveler in this role. And when despair disappears, nobody acknowledges anything. He just turns to dust. They don't even say, well, we've seen the last of him, or he'll be back. They just, like, turn to each other. So, Felicia, huh? You know, about all that stuff we said. They say that if we're good, they'll tell us about, like, Ben and Despair, you know, their previous encounters. We've been good. Can you tell us now?
You've been good, nothing.
Honest, mister, we've been good. Yeah, well, they say that every day for months. Like, they say that for months they've been visiting Aunt May's grave in the narration thing. Do you guys buy that it's been months, or do you think that maybe there's been a time skip since Maximum Clonage? What do you all think?
I didn't even see that.
I thought it was implied that there was a time skip between when Peter got arrested and when the trial started.
Yeah, there was a time skip, and there was a time skip between that and the trial too.
A couple of weeks, I think. I don't know about months.
It's probably been about. Well, you got to think how long does it take to get arraigned? Because we saw the arraignment and it actually get to trial. I mean,
there could be a time skip between this story and Maximum Clonage Omega.
I could buy that. For sure.
I just assume that most of the time passing happened in the mechanic.
I like the arts. I really like Felicia's betrayal here, and this is how I remember Felicia and how she was betrayed in the 90s. And this is not the Felicia that we're getting now, unfortunately. But it's I know people don't want us to dog on the current direction, but seriously, read some 90s Felicia books like this, and then read the way that she's acting now. Would you believe that this is the same woman that would abandon Spider-Man in the middle of a mission for personal gain? Can you see this version?
You can say that Felicia's been tired. I'm sorry.
God. Wild.
I'll go sit in the corner.
Go do that now.
But I do like how we're getting like the repercussions of the Clone Saga on the supporting cast. Which makes sense, and you wonder, hey, I wonder what this person and this person thinks about this, and especially someone in the lives as Felicia. So, let me look at the rest of my notes. So, yeah, I'm going to give this a B+.
B+, okay. Well, good. I'm going to give this a solid, C. This was mediocre to me. The script wasn't really that good. The one good thing I would say is the repercussions of the Clone. Two good things. The repercussions of the Clone Saga. And the other one is the Ben and Peter banter that's forming its foundations right now. DeSago really kind of played with this angle a lot in his run, especially later on. So I liked that. The artwork was really hit or miss, as Gerard and I kind of bandied about earlier. The artwork was at times a little dodgy, and it wasn't great. It was clearly not Stephen Butler's best work. So,
What specifically didn't you like? Like, can you point to something that you didn't?
Particularly the giant splash page. The eyes on Spider-Man kind of seemed a little off. The head in particular, the rest of the body was fine, but the head in particular just seemed a little off to me. Like the eyes, it was a little crooked.
I disagree, but to each of them.
The eyes didn't look as proportionate. Of course, he always draws a great bit as Spider-Man, or great Scarlet Spider, excuse me. You look at the head where I believe it's on, it's four pages after that, where there's him and Peter swimming through the city. That's what I'm used to more with Butler.
It's a great page. I really like that page.
That action shot's a really good action shot. Other than that, some of the faces were kind of weird and dodgy. The as yet Ben Reilly encountered Despair during his years away from the city. Maybe if you're good, we'll tell you about sometime, Eric. Oh yeah, that was a little annoying. So,
which Eric is that? Eric Kinnett?
No, God, no. Yeah. Oh, and the Mad About You reference was kind of cheesy.
About that. Well, what was that again? Because I used to watch that show.
It was the one with Helen Hunt and
No. I mean, what was the reference?
In the last page. Oddly enough, Ben and I came close to that very same conclusion. Have I told you, Mrs. Parker, that I'm mad about you?
That's not good.
I just interpreted it as them flirting, not as a reference to the show. Like, if someone says, hey, let's be friends, I don't think that it's a reference to Friends.
We should get a nanny. The nanny.
Just think, Mary Jane, pretty soon we'll be married with children.
Anyway, it just kind of screamed. Well, the way they bolded it, so... Just made me think of that was a direct reference. Grades, you got a C- from Gerard, an A- from Donovan, B+ from Bertoni, and a C from me. So we're going to move on to the next issue. So we're going to Amazing Spider-Man number 405, Bertoni. Give us the rundown.
Oh, yeah, and we get an awesome cover with Ben Reilly as Scarlet Spider, wired for death with a bunch of little tentacles from robots electrocuting him. Within the pages itself, Ben rides away on his motorcycle thinking about how he's giving up his life again. His spider sense goes off as he crashes his bike, wrecking it totally. He wonders if he subconsciously did this because he wanted to stay. He probably could have thought of a cheaper way to stay instead of crashing and wrecking his bike, but alas. So he goes to the rooftops where he angstily screams, "This is where I belong!"
Insert angsty music.
Yeah. No traveler or despair. This is Ben's actual feelings. He changes into the Scarlet Spider and swings around the city, quote unquote, for one last time. Is Ben dragging this out or is it the editorial? Find out. He winds up near Peter's place and wonders if that was his subconscious as well. Wonders if it was him telling him that he needs to leave because it's the right thing for Peter. Over inside Peter's apartment, Peter wakes up really agitated from a nightmare. He looks at Mary Jane and vows he will never let anything hurt her. And as that is happening, there's like, you know, liquid foreshadowing dripping from the page onto the floor. Oh, yeah. Ben heads up to Seaward Trainer's cabin in Vermont to clear his head, where he flashbacks and get used to this because Ben's going to be doing lots of flashbacking. To being an angry young man clone who yelled at clerks for not giving him rooms below price. You know, because, like, he didn't have enough money for the room, so he yelled at the clerk for not giving him the room anyway. And then Trainer paid the rest of the balance, and that's how they first met. Trainer then calls a sleepy flashbacky Ben in the present day, telling him that he must leave the cabin at once! Why? Because the cabin explodes!
Exactly. I'm sorry. It's just the way you... I'm sorry. The melodramatic...
It's as melodramatic as it was. Ben, you must... Let me find the page.
I mean, get out of the house, Ben! Get out now!
Ben, get out of here. Your v- is haunted.
That is not staying in the show.
Oh, no, get that in.
No. Hello? Get out of the house, Ben! Get out now! Seaward, what? There's no time! I've got to keep moving or they'll find me! No, get out! Get the bleep out of the... Whoa, there's actually a swear in there. Get the bleep out of the... And Ben, like, crashes through the window and behind him... Thachoom!
I'm using that in the next Clone Saga Chronicle. The next freaking Girl Space
Awesome.
The Thachoom.
That's the sound effect. Thachoom.
I am so using that.
Yeah. So Ben searches Trainer's lab, which is in equal disrepair, and there's no sign of him there either. But there is a sign of another flashback that Ben randomly has. Ben is at a restaurant, beating up a restaurateur because they're not giving him food. You know, because Ben wants his food now. Seaward tries to get through to him, but Ben only yells, "You wanna be my friend?" And then Ben passes out on the floor and Seaward says, "Yes, I do." Then Ben wakes up, takes Seaward's hand,
yes, I do.
Symbolizing friendship. Yeah, this was written well. Scarlet Spider, back in the present day, is attacked by some small, obvious octopus robots. They electrocute him and knock him out, and Seaward is shown prisoner in a locked room which is being closed by a tentacle? To be continued.
Tony, give me your thoughts.
Well, the cabin exploding, that was so 90s.
As only the 90s can do from a movie.
I'll never forget the old days. Hey, barkeep, I'm hungry. I need some food. Sorry, Mary's closed up the kitchen. We're not serving. I said I need food! What part didn't you understand? Now, do I get something to eat, or do I beat you within an inch of your life? You don't want to. You don't need to do that. I think you need to calm down. You look hot and feverish. I think maybe you can use some rest, and I think you could use a friend. So, it's Mr. Charity. Is that what you think I need? You want to be my friend? You want to be my friend? Yes, I do.
And there's like a silhouette on his face. Wait, and he's so serious.
Okay, we should do this as a dramatic reading. I will be Seaward.
Okay.
Played by Sean Connery. Because he looks like Sean Connery. I mean, look at him. He looks like a young Sean Connery with a beard.
Okay. Hey, barkeep. I'm hungry. I need some food. I said I need food. What part didn't you understand? No. Do I get something to eat, or do I beat you within an inch of your life?
Sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, with great power comes great responsibility.
Okay.
Right. Look at the sweat from his forehead in the next page. Like,
it's rain.
I know.
Yeah, he's straight up in a rage. You don't want to do that, son. You don't need to do that. I think you need to calm down. You look hot and feverish. Maybe you could use some rest. And I think you could use a friend.
So, it's Mr. Charity! Is that what you think I need? You want to be my friend? You want to be my friend? Oh.
Yes, I do.
Careful there, Doc. He's liable to.
He's fine, Dave. Just needs to be reminded that we all need help now and then. That we could all use a hand.
I didn't know it at the time, but I had been at the edge. Over the edge, falling. Falling. Flailing. I owe him so much. So much. Where are you, Doc? Why can't I seem to turn up any sign of you? So yeah, that's this issue. Ben in the flashbacks, good lord, didn't we already get, like, in the Lost Years issue zero, like, Ben going from jerk to, like, back to his senses? I guess it's realistic to think that he had relapse into, you know, being a complete dick after he made that fat guy almost kill himself at the bus stop, but yeah. So, if you don't know anything about Seaward Trainor, this totally makes no sense. How this random scientist is, like, going out of his way to, like, befriend this drunk guy by, like, paying for his hotel room and, like, stopping him from killing a bar. But when you find out later on the rest of Seaward's backstory and what was really going through his head where he met Ben, it actually does make a lot more sense.
I'm glad you say that now.
Yeah. Did anyone read the letters pages?
I briefly did. Let me go back over there and look.
Well, they talk about how maybe the Jackal has, like, a perfect Norman Osborn in a cryogenic tank and, like, saying that, like, he's the greatest villain, Venom who. And Marvel replies back to him, sorry, dude, Norman's still dead.
Ironic.
Sad.
There's a sense of irony in that last statement you made.
Seaward Trainor's going to be joining us for the rest of the podcast.
DeMatteis wrote this. I forgot that DeMatteis wrote this because they did this old 80s Marvel school, old school way of giving the box at the very end of the issue.
DeMatteis only plotted the issue. It was actually scripted by DeZago.
Why? Why do we get Todd DeZago? Why do you give the rookie all the...
He's getting better, I think.
He's getting better, yes.
Okay, so this was...
Sorry, I was going to say, it's also worth pointing out, this is DeMatteis' second to last issue, by the way.
No!
That is right.
So, this issue was overdramatic, just like the recap, and wow. Like, the random exploding cabin, which, like, I don't know. How did Trainer know that the cabin was going to explode, and how did he know to call Ben in time, and wouldn't Ben's spider sense have told, you know what, whatever. This is the Tentacle. This is our first hint of a new character who will be showing up very, very soon. So, yes. But I'm giving this a C. The art isn't baggly, but it's not bad.
I tell you right now, I actually like the artwork. I love the Scarlet Spider in this issue.
I love the Scarlet Spider, not so much the Ben Reilly.
Totally agree. Agree. You stole what I was going to say.
But yeah, I'm giving this a C. There was a lot of, but you know, no Peter, you know, slapping around pregnant people and joining the Jackal.
I love how you can't shut up about that. Have you ever seen that in Parker 75?
Maybe.
Probably.
Well, this is good. Peter Parker fights Norman Osborn. He doesn't beat up Mary Jane this issue.
Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with Josh. I actually like it a little better, mainly because, like I was going to say, I don't really care for mullet and 5 o'clock shadow beard Ben Reilly. I think that's very annoying, but the Scarlet Spider just kicked all kinds of butt all across the board. Every single pose was really awesome, especially how he was web-slinging and how you see the perspective of, like, the downward view from the back of from the back of where he is. Like, every time the Scarlet Spider was on the page, it looked really good. Yeah, didn't we do this already before? This whole Ben Reilly hates everybody because he's a clone, he's not a man. Like this seems like old news, but at least it's getting some information. Or is it about Seaward Trainer and how they came to be? Obviously, the best part, quote unquote, was the explosion of the cabin, just the way it was staged. Like, those two pages are funny. Like, and his spider sense is going off, and he just, like, grits his teeth as he busts through the window. Otherwise, I don't have much to say. It's just kind of like half flashback, half 90s nonsense. But it's enjoyable for what it was. I'm giving this a B.
Gerard, give me your thoughts.
Oh, it would help if I'm not on mute. All right.
Welcome back, George.
In a classic example of how much of a psychopath I am, or possibly how much of a psychopath the other people on this podcast are, I really like this issue a lot. And I'm giving this one an A-. And here's why. First of all, they have really great fill-in artwork, penciled by Derek Robertson, and then the usual inker and colorist for this book. Especially if you look at the opening, like, sequences with the Scarlet Spider. Open that thing up right now. Look at the camera angle when he's swinging around.
Exactly.
In the air. I mean, that's the really unique perspective that you get from both the street level and the higher level, and then really solid poses and composition of the panels and everything like that. It's really interesting to look at. And those pages especially won me over. Like everybody said, you know, Ben Ben Reilly was kind of dodgy. His hair had suddenly increased in length by, like, double since the last time we saw him. It's kind of weird. But as for the actual story itself, I thought it was actually kind of an interesting, like, structure. I mean, it was a story with Seaward Trainer, finally, after he had just shown up and then, you know, he sort of take for granted that they had a history but then didn't explain any of it. You know, like the Star Wars prequel. Instead, you actually get to see some of that development, and that's actually pretty cool. And you know what? Even though we know in hindsight what the deal is with that Doc Ock teaser, or like the tentacle teaser or whatever. I mean, it's a Doc Ock. I think we already knew that. I think it was actually a decently brewing mystery, where they actually gave you a couple of teases enough to interest you, but it wasn't dragged out that far. Like, we find out the next month what the deal is with that thing. So, I think, right? 406?
Yeah, because in Greatest Responsibility, they are the protagonist, the antagonist.
Spider, someone has a crush on you.
Uh-huh. As she's crushing him.
The only thing I didn't like about the issue was like that some of that Ben Reilly stuff in the past. Yeah, we hit on that already, and he's just being a dumbass half the time, but where he's like, with Bertone's excellent rendition of him screaming all the time and stuff like that, but like, he came off a complete tool bag in those scenes, but other than that, I really like
him. Tool bag. He's my friend.
You gotta I can't wait till that's revealed. I'm only laughing so hard.
This issue and the adjective list Spider-Man issue kind of cover the same sort of ground, but this one does it much more successfully. So I'm giving this one an A-.
Okay. I'm gonna give this a solid B. I love the artwork of this issue. And, I love the Scarlet Spider in this issue. The Ben Reilly with mullet. And Ebley showing up out of nowhere. But it is really good. This is kind of an important story because this kind of gives you the relationship with Saber Trainer and Ben Reilly. So this is kind of a story that some people might overlook because it's in that period between Maximum Clonage and Greatest Responsibility. But this kind of gives you a little bit more background, a little bit more flesh, and this kind of gives you this storyline kind of gives you a perspective of what a Ben Reilly-centric book would look like. The writing, we've already made fun of the writing.
Because it's funny.
Todd DeZago, sorry, buddy. We do rag on you a lot, but you get increasingly better as time goes on. So, other than that, I can't really say anything more that's already been said, so.
The rest of the storyline will be covered in the next episode. We were running a bit long, so we figured we'd split it right up down the middle, give you guys a short episode for once, something quicker to download, and quite honestly, to help our bandwidth, because we've been having problems with storage space, bandwidth, and file sizes, which is why, stay tuned in the coming months. We will be changing feeds to a Libsyn feed, but when we do, the transition will be over time, so... when we start on Libsyn, we'll still have a few of those same episodes posted on both Podomatic and Libsyn. They give you guys time to find the new site and get used to it. Want to thank Pirate Beck for remastering our theme song, which is what you heard in the intro, Pirate Beck's version. Thanks a lot. So come back in a week for the rest of the story. And in the meantime, enjoy some grade A bloopers.
Okay, this is going to be a one-minute episode. Welcome to Clone Saga Chronicles, everybody. This month, Ben leaves New York, then comes back, and there's some robots and a new Dr. Octopus. Or is it? Tune in next time where Peter tries to kill Mary Jane. Bye-bye.
Not bad.
Hey, Peter.
Are you watching the State of the Union?
I am not watching Mary Bob the World, no. I don't want to get upset.
Okay. Since we're recording during the State of the Union address, should we all just like say a sentence and then everybody else stands up and gives a standing ovation at the end of every sentence?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen of the comic book nation. In the past 6 episodes, we've lowered taxes.
But you never noticed.
Yes, because podcasts don't tax.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, U, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Dude, why did you read it like Shatner?
Just so that way I
can... And on my travels, the souls I visited, his was the most... That gets me right there.
Oh. Okay, Exile Part 1, right?
No, I was recapping Part 3.
Oh, shit.
That's how long you were gone.
No, that was Part 1.
I'm sorry, my mother was making fun of me, because apparently my voice changes when I get into podcast mode.
Trial.
Oh, great. I'm bleeding.
Come on, Zach.
We're never gonna... no, he's like, he just got quiet. Like, Zach? Zach?
Remember me. The creator of Spider-Man.com.
He's just panicking. He's just menstruating. He'll be okay.
Which bad fanfic are you referring to? The Arthur one?
All of them.
This is bad fanfics.
Just that fight.
Cassandra's that Tim slash fiction really offended me.
My favorite is still the Arthur one.
It makes the least sense.
Okay, I think we should be worried about Zach because he's like, I'm bleeding, and then disappeared.
He just slammed head first into the keyboard.
This episode is going to be a bitch to edit, but goddammit, is the blooper section going to be rich.
You know, no, it's going to be fun. You're going to start, you're going to hear the, you know, then Zach's going to introduce it, and then it's going to cut straight to the blooper reel.
There is no episode of Clone Saga Chronicles. All right, this, here's the, he's alive!
He lives!
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to. Oh, I mean, thank God, real
quick. I cut my foot on a piece of glass. I looked down and I didn't think I cut myself. I looked down, I'm bleeding on my foot. It's like, oh, well, I'm bleeding. I need to take care of that. So, yeah, I'm not dying or anything like that. My mother, the nurse, came and. Gerard. I agree with Gerard.